You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Third and final hour now upon us. It's been a festive spirit here in the studio this evening. We've been celebrating some victories, covering some news, and now we're just going to take a break, take a breath, and enjoy some friendly banter. Of course, in addition to doing our duty in the culture war and fighting for our people in the court of public opinion here on the mainstream airwaves and the top 10 radio show that is the Political Cesspool, the hosting staff, those of us who make up the hosting staff, me and Eddie and Keith and Winston Smith, Peter Scoop Stanton, I mean, we're all friends as well, both in the studio and outside of it. And to that end, Eddie the Bombardier Miller called me earlier today and said he really wanted to spend a few minutes at the top of the third hour talking about going over to Keith's house. So they spent some guy time together, and Eddie's going to tell you all about it.
Yeah, we went over to Brother Keith's house, and we had just some marvelous time. We watched a rare game, a 1969 Ole Miss Alabama game, and Keith was telling me that it was the first nighttime broadcast of a football game. Came on after Lawrence Welk because they didn't want to screw with Lawrence Welk, and for the life of me, I can't see what anybody was seeing Lawrence Welk. But we had a marvelous time, and we watched some Amos and Andy. I laughed till I cried, man. Me and Keith had such a wonderful time. I drank up all of his coffee and ate up some of his wonderful desserts. I forgot what kind of dessert that was. Bacalapa. It was good. But what really struck me, I've seen this photograph before that Keith has on his mantle in his mansion. Looks, you know, you put my house in one corner of his house. But it's a marvelous house. We're thinking about making a guy club out of that, you know, a man cave. But he also has what I would classify as a library in his house. It's a medium-sized library, not a small one. Well, I had an inspiration. I got up in the morning about, I guess I woke up about 2:30 in the morning, and it just came to me. I don't know why it hit me so bad. But I've seen that photograph once before. The photograph I'm talking about, people, was the 1958 Sugar Bowl game. Where Ole Miss beat Texas 39-7. Both good Southern states, you know, good Confederate states. But you should see it out on the football field. The band, I guess, had spelled out Dixie. And to the right of the band on the football field, it must have taken, they had a Confederate battle flag on that football field that must have been at least 20 to 30 yards square. Yeah. It's a gigantic flag. It must have taken 50 people to carry the flag. Matter of fact, our now deceased brother, Bill Rowland, I was told, has that flag at his house. And I'm not mistaken, I believe he left it to James Edwards. But here's the thing that struck me, and I told Keith, I said, you know, Keith, that has happened. I was alive. You were alive, Keith, in 1958. People had such pride in the University of Mississippi. And in the South. And in our Confederate. In our ancestry. Our, you know. And now, you know what? Look, this is where it is. I don't know why it was like a delayed reaction. I guess kind of like post-traumatic stress syndrome. Because I've seen this photograph before, and I've lived through this. But I woke up, and I'm thinking, this is how far we've come. Listen, this university was built, founded by former Confederate soldiers returning home from Lincoln's War. Most of these guys, many of them paid the ultimate price. They've paid with their lives in this war, the bloodiest war the United States has ever had. There are far more people died and maimed for life in Lincoln's War than there was in First World War, Second World War combined, and even probably in Vietnam. But these people gave it all, their all. They came back home to the state of Mississippi, and they started this university. Their blood is there in that soil at the University of Mississippi. And now you can't even mention that. That's supposed to be now a point of disgrace. They're teaching, and here's what they're teaching the kids now that he's coming up in school. That, I mean, really, it's you should apologize to society for being born a white Christian. I'm not kidding you, people. This is how far we've come. I know people that used to, used to go to that university. I had a good friend of mine that graduated from high school a year ahead of me and had a full ride. He was one of the finest tackles the state of Tennessee ever saw. And he went down there, and I used to go down there with him. He had a big Confederate battle flag in his dorm room. This particular football game, the 1969 game, me and Keith watched together. Everybody and his mama had Confederate battle flags on little, you know, in the stands as they were waving. And that was the norm. That wasn't the exception. That was the norm. Everybody had those. But now, people, we've gone to that where the people at the University of Mississippi, like me and Keith were talking about, it don't matter. You can go to a Columbia University, Harvard, Vanderbilt, the University of Georgia. You can go to a Princeton, and the education system was all the same. You know, you can't take pride in being white anymore. You can't take pride in being Christianity. And you know what? Especially Southern. And this is what dawned on me. If our youth gets educated, it's not going to be the government. It's going to be people like me, people like Keith. It's going to, you know, I don't know how we're going to do it because we're such a small number of people. But our kids, the people that are going to be here years and years after I'm dead. I mean, I don't have that many years left on this earth, but I really fear for our you know, our offspring, for our white people. Somebody is going to have to teach them. It's not a disgrace to be white. It's not a disgrace to be a Christian.
Or Southern.
You know, it's not a disgrace to have a precious cultural. You know, we're going to have to teach them that because they're being taught the opposite of this in school. They're being taught that to be born white Christian and in the South is to be just the most disgraceful, the worst thing that can happen to you. And, you know, people, what I'm making a plea out there to you. I'm always coming up with these, you know, some people probably say hair brain schemes. But if you can, you know, if you can, and it doesn't have to be a large scale to do. You can talk to the children in your neighborhood, your own children. Like I spoke to my grandson about it, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces, to people that are on the block, people you go to church with, and expose them to their cultural heritage, their Southern heritage, and tell them how wonderful what a wonderful thing that the Christian white people have done for the entire world. I mean, you know, the developments that the people, especially in the South, you know, the things that we have developed as a white race here in the South. I mean, they're wonderful. They're great. And we have to do that. Me, the Eddie Millers of the world, the Keith Alexanders of the world, the James Edwards of the world. He's got a lot on his plate right now. But people out there, we're going to have to do it. If we don't do it, you know, our culture, it's 90% dead now. I mean, it's on a ventilator, really. And you know what? If it gets to a certain point, if it goes down so far, it's not going to be able to be resuscitated. And right now, people, I implore you to do that. I want me and Keith to try to do something. I don't know what we can do because it's just in the infancy stage now, planning something. But I saw that library Keith's got, and I thought, well, you know, and even without the books that Keith's got, me and Keith together, we're not young guys anymore. We have a lot to offer. And with that, we're going to a break. And when I go back, after we come back from the break, I'll pass it over to my brother Keith to see what he has to say about that.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All here, all at the same time. Eddie was sharing with you in the opening segment of our final hour about time spent at Keith Alexander's home earlier in the week. I wasn't able to be there, unfortunately, but those two guys got together, had some man time, and during the course of that fellowship, Eddie basically had an epiphany, yeah, during which he understood that not only are we right about things, but it brought it into sharp focus and refocused him. That, come on, guys. Enough's enough. How did we get browbeaten to the point? How did the people whose ancestors conquered the globe and gave to humanity so many great advancements in technology and science, so many innovations, how did we go from being that type of people with an indomitable spirit to being ashamed of who we are? You know, the fact of the matter is that we are consistent here on the political cesspool. We agree that everyone should be proud of who they are. Everyone should take pride in their unique cultural heritage. You should be proud no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what your race is. But you know what? That extends to the dispossessed majority here in this country as well. That also applies to people of European descent. We should be proud of who we are. No group of people is perfect, but there is a lot of things to be proud about. We've heard the grievances. What about the gratitude? And you know what? If you're white, it's okay. It's not a sin. Something you should be excited about. Everyone should be excited about who they are. God made you that way. It wasn't a mistake. Be proud of who you are. Keith, I want to toss it over to you. We got to get to Matt the Copperhead, who's been waiting very, very patiently. We got to get to him very quickly. But Keith, before we get to Matt, I want to toss it over to you so you can kind of chime in on the time spent with Eddie and what it meant to you and why you want to share it with the audience.
You know, looking at the old photograph from the 1958 Sugar Bowl and the celebration of the Confederacy that took place then, and the 1969 Ole Miss-Alabama game where Archie Manning versus Scott Hunter featured, I think it was 33-32 Alabama over Ole Miss, it shows you what a remarkable and complete transformation has occurred in society, particularly here in the South, over our lifetimes. Eddie's 67, I'm 63. We get together. We do things that Southern males have always done. We go down to the gun club and shoot skeet or target practice with our pistols. We go on float trips on a canoe down the various waterways around here, the creeks and the rivers and whatnot. We go to football games. We come in and we watch movies. We watch things. And Eddie and I both agree that the old things were better. Anybody that thinks that the 50s weren't a better time than today, didn't live in the 50s, or at least wasn't aware, maybe they were alive but were in a coma. But anybody that actually experienced that has to be nostalgic for it. And this is information, this is an outlook that is about to pass from the face of the earth if we don't take active steps to preserve it. What we're going to do, I think, is teach something at the more conservative private schools in town to try to resurrect a consciousness of the way the South used to be. Now, with that said, we're going to pass this thing over to Matt the Copperhead. We need to put him on and get his comments about all of this.
Good evening, James, Mr. Alexander, and Eddie the Bombardier. How's everyone doing in Memphis tonight?
Hey, we're doing good. Another day, another... Well, we can't say another dollar, but it's another day, and it's a good day.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. Well, live from New York, the home of the intrepid and slightly, not so slightly neurotic.
Well, I got to ask you this, Matt, coming from New York, sure. Hearkening back to the first hour when Peter Scoop Stanton was providing his report. So are you staying in New York now? Governor Cuomo said conservatives aren't welcome there if you believe that, what was it? That you believe in guns, you believe in the right to life, you don't have a home
right.
there anymore.
You're against sodomite marriage, there's no home for you. Well, this is definitely the word's come down, and they're fixing to get us dragged off to the Siberian gulags or worse, Jersey, Definitely, it sounds like a state-organized push.
If it gets too hot there for you, Matt, come on down to Memphis. We'll find you a room.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, I got to get back to my roots. I was raised in the South, and, this is becoming beyond the pale.
That's incredible. Could you imagine, Keith, I know we covered this in the first hour, but, a governor of a southern state saying if you oppose abortion, if you oppose, homosexual marriage, get out. First of all, I wouldn't have a problem with that because that would be a righteous stand. You would be standing with God, at least, on those two issues. But in New York, they're saying if you have conservative tendencies, if you don't believe that it's a great thing to abort your children, to murder your children. If you don't believe homosexual marriage is far superior to God-ordained marriage, then you need to get... He literally told them to get out of New York. I mean, that's incredible. And there is no backlash. No backlash from the media, Keith.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't understand that our ancestors did try to get out of New York and the rest of the nation. It was called the Civil War, but they wouldn't let us. They liked lording it over us too good. That was
people go.
Yeah, let my people go. And it wasn't Martin Luther King that said that. It was Jefferson Davis and the Confederates.
That's right.
Well, they wanted our money. They wanted everything else we got here in the South. But like you say, we did try to leave. And I'll tell you another thing. I guess this may be kind of off topic, but I'm sure you guys have seen the same thing. I'm really tired of seeing people that come down from the North and they're here in the South and they're forever throwing – crap on the South, talking about how pitiful our education system is, how backward we are. And I've asked quite a few of them, what's wrong with the North? Why can't you get back up there if it's so wonderful? I remember I have to go along with some years ago when we had a big an energy shortage up north, and they had a severe winter, probably not as bad as this one, but people were freezing up there. And, the people in Texas were making fun of those Yankees saying stuff like let them shiver. But, looks like we're going to a break now. Okay. Well, we've got a sunboy wants to get a word in too here, folks. Hang on a minute.
And we got to say, the political cesspool is a diverse audience, has diversity in its audience to the greatest definition that the word can carry. And we do have great people outside of the South and around the world. We're a big phenomenon in Scandinavia right now. But, so being a Southerner can be a state of mind as well. And that's why we got Matt the Copperhead online. So I think we hijacked perhaps what you were calling to talk about, Matt.
Quite all right. I like a good bit of porch talk myself.
That's Southern porch talk. That's exactly what it is. You just got sucked into the vortex. But what else is on your mind? This is your time, your dime, your dance floor.
Oh, well, you know, I was thinking to kind of add a financial and economic injection to the Memphis area. Maybe Habaro, the company, the German company that
right.
manufactures those gummies, gummy
yes.
bears and gummy products. Maybe they can partner up with a black figurehead to run the company and do something with the licorice as far as, buggish or something like that. Buglish, you know, kind of like with the... was it the hoodies back in the late 90s, you know, lowest common denominator, bubblegum machine, you know, appealing to that market. I don't know, just food for thought.
No, I mean, they should. I mean, but you can't even say thug now. Thug is the T word,
right.
And we all know what the N word is. If you listen to Richard Sherman this week after he acted like a thug on television in the Seattle Seahawks
sure.
victory over San Francisco and correctly was identified as one for his behavior. Well, now everybody's been made to apologize for using the T word because thug is the same as the N word. It's just the 2014 version of the N word. But
more encroachment on the English vernacular, you know. I received a correspondence from three very distinguished looking Southern gentlemen. I really appreciate you guys sending that package off.
Well, Matt is, of course, referencing the little care package we sent off to those who donated in the fourth quarter fundraising drive in December. And by the way, Matt, I believe you're one of these people, and this goes to everyone. If you donated $100 or more to the cesspool in December and did not get the audio file via email of Keith Alexander's off-the-air commentary, email me tonight and I'll send it to you, or email me as soon as you hear this. We got to take a break.
Will
Thanks
do,
for calling,
brother.
Matt.
All the best and happy Burns Night to all.
God bless you, buddy.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, it's been a variety show tonight here in the Political Cesspool. We've covered some news. We've had some, you know, lively banter and talked about some experiences we've had off the air during the first hour. All good news, of course. It's been a very delightful spirit and a festive atmosphere in the studio this evening. But I truly believe that the highlight of the show is occurring right now and for the remainder of the program as we welcome back our very good friend Sam Bushman, the owner of Liberty News Radio Network and the host of the Liberty Roundtable, the incomparable Sam Bushman, and making his first appearance on our show, a man that I have a great amount of respect for. His name is Vincent Finelli. He, too, is a talk radio host, a juggernaut. Checking him out at usaprepares.com. And Vincent Finelli is Mr. Preparedness. Had the opportunity, really the honor, to go up last summer to Lebanon, Missouri, and attend one of his preparedness and survivalist expos. This man puts on a show. Really a great treat to have both of them appearing in tandem tonight. So Sam and Vincent, my friends, welcome.
Happy to have you along, James. Man, we had an incredible road trip. It's just beyond imagination, Vincent.
Oh, it certainly was, Sam. And Sam, why don't you lead into what really happened?
I'll tell you, let's just say this. We had the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association event, basically Thursday evening, all day Friday, and a little bit this morning, Saturday. It was in Las Vegas. We went Thursday morning right after our live broadcasts. We got there, had an incredible time. The meeting was an absolute, absolute success. Now, that's the overall reality. However, turbulence pretty much started the second we got there and didn't quit until the end. And what I mean by turbulence, I am convinced there were absolute naysayer plants in the mix trying to destroy what we were doing, Vincent.
Absolutely. And as I look in the studio, Sam.
By the way, can you hear those guys fine, Vincent? Or James?
I can hear you clear. Thank
Perfect.
You,
Perfect. Go ahead, Vince.
Great. And Sam, in your studio, I'm looking at the founders, the framers of the Constitution here. And it looks like these gentlemen are getting along just wonderfully. And that... And they look like they were getting along just wonderfully a few hundred years ago. But that's not exactly what happened with us and the sheriffs, because there was dissension. There were naysayers. And, Sam, frankly, I don't know if we should say this, but we almost lost the ship.
You should say this. They almost sunk the ship.
Oh, my goodness, guys. I mean, you're thinking you're going in, you're spending a weekend there at the CSPOA conference, Richard Mack, the whole deal.
Yes.
How could it go wrong?
All right, here's what happened. We had two primary goals at the event. Number one, to create a sheriff's legal defense fund. In other words, a money pot with lead attorneys that will take care of sheriffs like Sheriff Nick Finch, who won in Florida, but yet he's $166,000 in debt, even though he won. We've got to create a legal defense fund, so when sheriffs stand up, we've truly got their back. That's number one. We accomplished that goal. But the other main goal was to create, it turns out they created what's called a sheriff's resolution. And the sheriff's resolution is about a page long and primarily lays out what the sheriffs will and will not tolerate within their jurisdictions.
Right.
And the primary focus of the document is federal government. We know you think you're above the law and we know you think you have unlimited power, but that isn't true in our jurisdictions. And we expect you to obey the law. We expect you to dot the I's and cross the T's and have your ducks in a row when it comes to our jurisdictions. And we're going to demand it, virtually speaking. And so they created a document. And this document was created a couple of times ago at a CSPOA event, but never finished. About 100 sheriffs took place the first time, about 30-plus sheriffs and some deputies, etc., and a whole group of us, about 70 to 100 of us, the second time. And the problem when I say that they almost sunk the ship is our goal was to get that document virtually finalized and signed by these sheriffs. And they subverted it in two ways. One, they tried to bog us down in the language so it would never get finished. And number two, they tried to bog us down in trying to get people to say, well, we need to work on this. We need to get attorneys to review it to the point where it would never
have gotten signed.
Right, right.
And they really pushed hard, and they really stood up and said what they wanted to say, and they tried to subvert this, and they almost had the group going along. Sam and Vincent and a few others stood up at critical times. Vincent?
Yeah, we did. We stood up at critical times. We made the statements we needed to get the task back on track. Now, imagine a committee of, let's say, 50 men and women. Mm-hmm. And the task is, let's have this document. And then some people say, you know, I think the word A, I don't think that should be A. We need to strike that.
Right.
And the word... And that was going on.
And by the way, this line's a little bit too incendiary and harsh. We need to soften the language here.
Yeah,
we need to.
There was one gentleman there who said, do you realize that if you use this language, this strong language, what the federal government will do to you, do you realize that the penalties that you will be facing will be overwhelming and harsh? And so now we have fear being spread throughout the room, and then others are, others say, wait, maybe he's right. But just because he has a voice doesn't mean he's right. So what?
And even if he's right, it doesn't mean that we don't need to take on this issue.
Well, that's exactly right. So, Sam, let's say it the way it is. The federal government has declared war on we the people.
Unfortunately, I believe that to be the facts. Look at everything they're doing.
Okay, so let's say that again, make sure it's very clear. The federal government has declared war on we the people.
Yes, now, the federal government has declared war on we the people and the rule of law.
And this document is just our response to that declaration of war. It's as simple as that.
Now, when we say it's our response, it's the sheriff's response, the duly elected official's response to that. Now, I will submit to you that it is not a mutual statement of war. It is a law-abiding elected official's response to a rogue agent, if you will, subverting the laws. Mm-hmm. And so they have a measured, law-abiding response by elected officials to a rogue element, is what we're talking about.
Right. It's as simple as following the amendments to the Constitution. And, for example, a jury trial. It's absolutely necessary if we want one. It's as simple as that.
It's mandated by God and by the rule of law in America, and to violate that is a perversion of the law and rogue. So what happened is, at critical times when they tried to derail of this, they started to get the MC and a few others to say, yeah, you know, good point, we need to work on that. Maybe we better not get this signed today. Maybe we better put it off and then pass it around later and get it reviewed. Maybe we better. And I stood up at critical times. Others were involved with me. I'm not trying to take all the credit, but... And we brought this back on track, and I hopefully was eloquent in my response. My goal wasn't to marginalize anyone, but I think we provided incredible leadership and direction regarding what our duty is, what our responsibilities were, and why we were together. For instance, if we leave without getting this signed, what did you come for? Why are you here? Is it to put something off and delay and delay? We did that last time, guys. We don't need to do it again. What we need to do is be unified in our response. We used prayer to the Almighty. We used logic and reason. And we used compelling, eloquent arguments to hammer our point home. And we turned the tide. We left that event with not only a constitutional legal defense fund in the works for sheriffs, with committed funds to build it. Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, agreed on the spot to fund the setup of the Legal Defense Fund for Sheriffs with his own attorneys.
Wow.
And several attorneys that are constitutional attorneys agreed to pro bono act as the first responders or first line of defense to support sheriffs and what they're doing and what needs to be done in the proper defense. Pro bono work on the bulkhead right there available. Now, in addition to that, we got the document virtually finished. It will be reviewed by an attorney. There will be a couple of grammatical corrections, etc. But virtually, we got 39 sheriffs and deputies to sign on the spot.
39.
Roger that, sir. And growing every second.
And the signatures look very similar to that of the Declaration of
Independence. Vince, Sam, I was just about to say, what y'all are describing here as I listen to this really takes me in my imagination to what it must have been like at the Constitutional Convention. Now, I'm not going to say what happened in Las Vegas this week and compare to that in any way, but it's probably as close as we've gotten in a long, long time, to say
this,
the very least.
In our lifetimes, it's as close as we've
ever
become.
Yes, I mean, because folks, folks, you have to understand, obviously, as Sam and Vince do, how important the work of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association is, CSPOA. This is probably the most important organization that exists today in terms of having an opportunity to really make a difference. Now, we talk a lot about issues.
And do so within the law.
Within the law, within the Constitution, sheriffs making sure that the federal government does not violate constitutional rights in their counties. Now, we talk a lot about things we would like to change, a lot about issues. We hypothesize, we pontificate. This is really where a change can be made. If you have a righteous and constitutionally law-abiding county sheriff who is willing to stand, take a righteous stand against violation of the Constitution from the federal government, folks, right, that is where it really
James,
gets real.
Next segment, a quick highlight from your friend, Denny Payman from Kentucky.
Oh, yes, Denny. All right, let's do it.
A highlight. It'll be incredible. You watch. You'll be shocked.
All right, you got it.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, I'm big enough to say when I make a mistake, and as good as we try to make every segment of this radio program, I feel as though I've let you down by not having Sam Bushman and Vince Finelli on for the entire third hour. This was bigger than I thought. I knew it would be big. I didn't know it would be this big. I really believe as though, short of the Constitutional Convention and
Hey, maybe James, don't they say go big or go home?
I tell you what. I mean, Sam Bushman came back. And Sam just got back from this conference during our show. Mm-hmm. He got back. He finally made it back home to Utah during our show, and now he's instantly on the radio with us. And this is the CSPOA. We've been promoting them for a couple of years here on the Political Cesspool. We've given you some videos of their conferences as incentives and some other things. But, folks, this is an organization that is pledged to do good work. It makes the sheriff enforces that the sheriff is the highest highest authority in any given county, that the county sheriff is, and the CSPOA really grew some teeth this weekend, did it not, Sam? I know Eddie is absolutely dying to get on here, but you got to give us one more report.
All right. Yes, we gained some teeth in a law-abiding way. We think outside the gun. The rule of law is the way we roll. So make sure you understand that it is a peaceful response from elected officials backed by liberty-loving Americans. The story I want to tell quickly is about Denny Pyman, sheriff from Kentucky. And he basically told the stories about how he found absolute extreme corruption within his county. And he literally arrested a judge and the county clerk, the money lady. And he arrested the judge in the middle of a meeting, hauled that judge out in handcuffs. It's all on video. Go look on the internet. You'll find it.
Wow.
YouTube. And he hauled him out. And when he arrested him, the sheriff walked up and he said, "Excuse me, I don't mean to be a problem, but you are being arrested." And the judge, which is not a judge in the traditional sense, it's more of a city a county manager kind of guy. The judge looked up at the district attorney and said, "I don't have to go with this Yahoo sheriff, do I?" And the district attorney looked around and then said, "You better go with the sheriff." And he got handcuffed and walked out. Now, they took away Denny Pyman's car. This is a war down there. I hate to say that, but it is. And they took away Denny Pyman's cruiser, police cruiser, but he had an old Mustang they couldn't take away. And he literally threw this judge in the back of that old beat-up Mustang and hauled that sucker to jail.
It was an impoundment Mustang.
Then what happened was his staff went to him and he said, "What do I do with this guy? You got the judge in jail." And Denny Pyman goes, "What do you do with the other prisoners? You do the same thing." And so that's one interesting story that Denny Pyman told. I'm telling you, this is for real. He's cleaning up corruption. He's keeping his oath of office. And he's using the rule of law to do so. And he's just scratched the surface, according to Denny Pyman himself, as he gave a speech last night. He brought the house down. Now, there was an American, a hillbilly from Kentucky, that came out of the hills and said, "Denny Pyman, you got the ball rolling. I'm here to push. You tell me what to do." And literally, Denny Pyman said, "Look, we'd love to have you, and we would use your help." And so then this citizen said, "You ever need any protection, come with me." And he took him back in the hills, and it turns out this citizen had a bunker. This is true story, according to Denny Pyman. And he said, "You ever have it get too hot and you need a place to go? You come with me." And all I'm telling you is Americans will back their sheriff,
well,
sir.
Well, that guy was from Kentucky. You know,
Roger that
guy was from Kentucky, and so is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. That has to be a guy related to Eddie, and he has been dying to get a word in edgewise on this story, Sam. This is made for Eddie.
Eddie, you're on the radio, sir.
Hey, Sam. Hey, I'm going to override some boy. We got to do the show again. We got to come on for another hour on another show. And we're going to bump James Everett's schedule. If maybe we can do it in a week and maybe do it again. But listen, my dad was from a place called Bloody Breathitt County, Kentucky. I'm going to tell you what. They went through three chiefs of police in 6 months' time up there back in the 30s because they weren't very honest, you might say. So they did it. I'm not going to brag too much. I have a great aunt who went inside the courthouse, court in full session, and she drilled a chief of police and shot him dead. And this was a peaceful old lady, but the chief of police had killed her teenage boy because the teenage boy called him, you know, a pig or something, whatever they called it back in the 30s. So she took care of that guy.
And we need to be very careful that we remain peaceful. We don't want to start anything. We want to uphold the law. We want to rout out corruption. We want to stand on the rule of law. We want to use the appropriate elected officials to make a stand in the proper way, Vincent.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's another story. We are not advocating violence in any way, shape, or form. So drilling people is not what this is all about. But there's another story that's very fascinating. And this gentleman will be on the air with us. He is a very young chief of police, a very handsome man. And he was flying to the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Convention. And He was stopped by TSA, and he was asked, what are you doing? And he said he was going to be attending this convention. Well, they detained him. They put him in a separate room. And they detained him, and they interviewed him, and they were not about ready to let him go until he challenged him. So they stopped him because of his destination and what he was about to do. So what we have is this was a big event, and the authorities knew about this event. They knew it was happening, and I believe they were looking for attendees. What do you think, Sam?
I think they were absolutely doing that. I think they didn't want to make too big of a splash, but they certainly wanted to make life hard for us. Anyway, it was an incredible event. All I'm telling you is, ladies and gentlemen, we've got stories by the dozens we can tell you about what happened. We feel like a few subversions almost sunk the ship. Thank heavens to the Almighty and a few stand-up patriots. We got her righted. We provided the leadership necessary, and we kept that dude rolling. And we've made tremendous progress with literal results that can be pointed to of our convention in Las Vegas.
Hey, Sam.
Yes, sir.
I only see one flaw in what y'all did out there in Vegas.
Yes,
when
sir?
These yahoos started trying to sabotage the meeting,
yeah.
If I'd have been there and I had the authority, I would have called an immediate recess. And I would have had a sergeant of arms or three escort these gentlemen someplace.
Let me tell you the problem.
Private room, and I would have said, which way do you want to leave?
Let me tell you the problem.
Airport?
They are elected officials, and we don't know their intentions for sure. Meaning that, were they really trying to sabotage the thing? That's what we believe.
But wait, this is
but
a private meeting.
But we have
meeting,
no
though.
Proof. The reality is they were invited to the private meeting because they are elected officials that are supposedly for the cause. You see people's true colors in some of these scenarios. However, maybe they were a little bit scared to do this, a little scared to sign, and they were trying to genuinely soften the language out of fear or out of not being sure of themselves. I guess what I'm saying is there's a fine line there that you can't really fault them for. So what you can do is keep an eye on them. But if we start routing sheriffs out, then other sheriffs start going, hey, wait a minute, I thought we all had a voice here. Hey, wait a minute. And before you know it, you start to lose the reins as well. And so what we had to do was use the court of public opinion with reasoned, eloquent guidance or leadership, I should say, to bring to bear. Vinny, do you want to finish on that?
And these ladies and gentlemen are the best we have. They really are. And, you know, it's easy to become weak and say, you know what, I think we won't be so strong and we won't make such strong statements. Well, it took great resolve and great courage of these men and women to hammer out the document with the language that they have and literally sign their John Hancock on this document. This is the real deal. And now you don't know all of it, and we can't release what we know at this point. But within the next 2 weeks, I expect that the final document will be out. It will be made public. And, Sam, is it fair to say that this will be this is a document that will be received with lots of meetings in Washington? There's going to be a lot of review of this. Like, uh-oh,
yes,
now what do we do?
Yes, but the mainstream press is going to first try to ignore us. Mark my words.
Yep. You're right about that, and I'll tell you guys, we will have to revisit this next week because I know we're down to the last couple of minutes. And, of course, you know, to circle back to something that they were saying before and sharing that anecdote from Kentucky, we all agree, law-abiding all the way. But here's the thing. Y'all got all those people together. You can't get five people to agree on what to have for dinner. Now, when you're talking about people, I mean, that's the truth. You get all of these people who are the highest elected official in their counties taking a public stand, putting their name on the line about something that could very well cause them harm, either electorally speaking, or at least they'll have to suffer some indignant name calling. You got them to do it, folks. That was not an easy task. That they came together and were able to hammer out something that they could agree on is a great victory and something that gives me more excitement and enthusiasm to believe that there is some forward progress and some momentum taking place and occurring that could just maybe there might be a break of dawn forthcoming that could reclaim some of our lost constitutional liberties. Maybe
Amen.
It all started in Las Vegas this weekend.
Amen. Now, James, they usually say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and my response is not this time, baby.
Not this time. And our two guests, the esteemed and venerables, Sam Bushman and Vincent Vannelli. Of course, everybody knows Sam, LibertyRoundtable.com. But please, folks, familiarize yourself with the work of Vincent Vannelli at USAPrepares.com. Check out his radio show, also carried here by Liberty News Radio, and buy some of his products. USA Prepares, we want to continue to let you get to know Vincent Vannelli as we go forward. Vince, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Thanks so much.
For Sam Bushman and the rest of our crew here in Memphis, out in Utah as well, I'm James Edwards. We will see you next week, folks. God bless you.
To keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.